Hello and welcome to the T2 Hubcast with me, Tracy Roberts.
And me, James Cooper.
How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. It's nice to have a little bit of downtime in the office, isn't it?
It is.
I want to say downtime. I don't mean we're actually down.
No.
I mean, we're actually working on stuff behind the scenes after the big event that we just had a few weeks ago, our leadership retreat. So we're working on the next stage of stuff for all the work we're going to be doing in the next few weeks with our amazing partners, right?
Yeah, giving yourself that little bit of headspace just to realign and then go again, get some podcasts in.
Yeah.
And then have the chats that we need to and then
definitely
go forth and take over the world.
Lots of coffee, go forth, take over the world.
Yeah.
But what we thought we'd talk about today is both you and I have a bit of experience in sports and fitness.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd talk about something quite close to our hearts. It's not quite close, is
it? But it's a bit lower than that. Okay.
So building a strong core.
Ooh, ooh. Ah.
So let's just cut to the chase. What are the benefits of having a strong core, James?
So if we talk about the strong core, and what do we mean by that? Is that who are these people that not just hold us together, but provide that real detailed spine, if you like,
yeah,
or even the muscles that hold you together,
yeah,
and allow you to have certain ways of working.
Absolutely.
There's also a lot to do with communication as well, Tracy.
There is, absolutely.
So if you're having people that you don't have that good core or that nice strong core even, then you are going to have people that are falling over, not necessarily being able to stand up on their own two feet, if you like.
So we're talking about weak muscles.
We are talking definitely about
potentially
weak muscles.
Injuries. Of course, strong core to most of us means we can do other things effectively because it gives us that firm base, doesn't
yeah.
it? It means that other activities are normally a bit easier.
Yeah.
And I guess essentially it's athletic ability, isn't it? It gives us that strong sort of focus to start from. So we can apply that to business. Absolutely. Because if we've got weak muscles
yeah.
and all those potentials for things to go wrong, then of course it's just as bad as walking into that gym and, you know, lifting a big weight and not embracing that core. So today we're going to draw some similarities, I guess is the right word, between how you work out in the gym and obviously how you focus on your core in your team. So building a strong core, leadership. And of course, it goes without saying that core exercises, they do recommend that you put them into most of your workouts, don't they?
Yeah.
So I think really it draws a lot of alignment with, you know, how we work within organizations with our core focus, our middle managers. Let's call them our middle managers. However, the interesting bit about that terminology, and I was reading a recent McKinsey study around it, and it said around that kind of the way people see that as a middle manager, you know when you're a middle manager because you're sandwiched. That's the simple way, isn't it? But what they said in this research paper was around people's kind of vision of that, feeling like, does that make people feel like you're in a middle position, but it means there's an apex somewhere that you're heading towards? And the reality is anyone or is everybody who's a middle manager, for want of a better term, heading towards an apex? Or are some of them actually really happy being in that position? Therefore, it's not middle management. That's their apex and they're happy there.
My thing, and this is from experience as well, of being in that middle management position and having people and the messages from above, and we now call that stakeholder management. And then obviously
yeah.
the people that are on the same level as me or
yeah.
as a middle manager, and then being really sort of the foot soldiers that are getting the work done and
yeah.
having that ability to do all three and communicate to everybody that's around
yeah.
you. If you think about like your circle of influence or your sphere of influence, if you like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's understanding that you have to be really adaptable.
Yeah.
And that core has to stay strong. So these are normally or can be some of the best people in the business.
Oh, definitely.
And are we pushing them
yeah.
to go, right, where you go next? Well, actually, I'm actually okay with where I am at the moment. Thank you very much. I'm smashing it.
You're absolutely right. And I think that from a trajectory perspective, I think we've got to think about this as a business, because many of our middle managers, we'll use the term so we understand it, but
yeah.
there's an argument against this, I think, are people who have been subject matter experts. They've been your best salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
They've been your best operator.
Mm-hmm.
They're really passionate about what they do normally, and it really stands out. And they see success for them in that organization is the only way to achieve it is to by stepping up. So some of the stuff that I've just been kind of making notes on is that some people feel like the only way someone can advance at the company is to be promoted. They might think that their job can only be measured about how many people are underneath them on the org chart, as an example.
Why do you think that is though, Tracy?
I think that's the way that we project it, that the very word promotion does insinuate that it means that you've got to step up. And we give them, like I said here, the more senior the role, the more the person should be paid and rewarded. I don't necessarily think that that's the way of the world these days. You know, for me personally, usually there's a pay band assigned to certain roles. And you could argue in some organizations that there are certain people at the rank beneath or beneath that again because of their abilities, their circle of influence, the kind of projects they work on, their subject matter expertise, their passion for what they do should be paid the same. You know, there's a little bit of, yeah, I question that sometimes. I'm not saying in every organization, but sometimes. But also the other thing here is that outstanding individual contributors are normally offered the reward of management as the next step up. That's fatally flawed.
Can I ask you a question there? Yeah. Just because I'm good at my job, does that make me a good manager?
It really doesn't, James. It really doesn't. And that's a really great point. Are you directing that directly at me?
No. I'm not directing that at you. I'm just understanding that from promotions and even when you've done, like from my first job, going from being not just the person that does the job.
The go-to
you're
person.
You're the person that understands that job really, really well. Mm. Now you need to go and lead 3 or 4 others to do the same job that you've just been doing and go, well, I can do it myself.
Yeah.
But can I then articulate it in the right way and
communicate
actually speak?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole different ballgame,
correct,
right?
Correct, different skill set.
So I think we're stepping back another stage before middle management there and saying, actually, you know, if we go in and do talent sort of spotting in our organization, whether we're 9-box gridding people, whatever we use in our organization, are we looking at the right, I guess, skills and attributes? Mm. Are we looking at, does someone actually enjoy leading people? Because a lot of people are pushed into that box, aren't they? They're pushed into, you know, you're really great at what you do. You know, managing people is just another skill you need to learn. And some people just don't want to learn that. You know, it's very uncomfortable for them. They're not necessarily someone who's a big people's person. They don't like conflict. Can some people be pushed into that position and they thrive? 100%. Mm. However, I think it shouldn't be your only choice. And that's what bothers me, is that a lot of people think they've got to follow this trajectory. I have spoken to so many people when I've been doing executive coaching sessions that when they've gone through periods of doubt about themselves, or whether they're starting to, you know, maybe even give some imposter type, outputs, if you like, it comes from this expectation from themselves or the organization around what their trajectory looks like. So I did speak to someone a few weeks ago who'd been in their role for quite some time, and they felt under pressure to perform constantly. They were saying, you know, every time I have a review, it's more about like where I'm going to go next. It's not about actually what I can master now. Yeah. And what they're not leaning into there is that person is absolutely acing their job. And the reality is, I don't think they actually want to move roles. Because when we went through the role alignment piece, it was like, this is the perfect job for me.
I'm just, whilst you're talking there, Tracy, I'm just thinking, is it, you know, even people that have been in roles for a long period of time and they've done everything that they can do within the business, is it just because they've been there for that long that then they get promoted as well?
So I think you're right, yeah.
I think, and if you think about, I know we were mentioning about the trade or traders examples and what they do. And it's like some of my friends that are in professional environments and that they've basically been at the same job for a long period of time. And now they've built the way up. And what's the next step for them when they're
been there for ages? You wouldn't even think like that, would you, in that environment? That's a really good point. I think you hit two really great points there. One is, do some people get promoted because of tenure and timing or, because you live into the values even. Mm. So you might be someone in the organization that really lives into the values, but maybe your skill's not quite there. And someone feels like, actually, I want to take a risk on this person and put them into that role. I think I can support them. But my question would be, are you really going to support them? Because a lot of the people that we work with, I think they feel a little bit exposed and under a lot of pressure. Because let's think about the things they do.
Go on.
People in middle management, this is what they do. they interpret our policies and our procedures and get shit done. Yep. Let's just be honest. They are all about the organizational setup and what that means and the operational and organizational kind of objectives and driving that forward. They're sometimes recruiting people. They're a mentor, they're a coach.
Positive influencers,
culture carriers, we call them.
Yeah, nice.
They're instructing, they're motivating, they're collaborating, they're stakeholder managing, and that is a bloody nightmare in itself. And we don't teach them that. It's one thing when you move up into middle management, trying to figure out how to manage those beneath you or around you. But when you've then got to push upwards and you've had no clarity on what that looks and feels like, and I don't know, you're wired so that you're more introverted as an example or extroverted, depending on what way that, you know, that works, then how do you know how to channel that? You know, how can you do that effectively? And the thing is, that's all the stuff they do. But what they really help us do is they get stuff done for us. Our good middle managers are the stronghold, like you said. They are the people who we just turn around to, give them a nod, and stuff gets done. We take that for granted, I think, sometimes. They're culture carriers. So if they're positive, and I'm going to put that caveat in there, if we've not got someone who's a bit of a disruptor, then, and obviously it goes without saying, it goes the other way as well, doesn't it? If we're not looking after them, we can trust them with information. Right? Because they understand people in the organization. If they really love what they do, they can cascade information that we want delivered really effectively, without us having to have this kind of broad brush approach to everything.
Yeah, just on that, when you've got people that are having the message delivered in the wrong way, you could quite easily lose a number of different people within the workforce, or you could lose a relationship with a senior leader, if you like.
But I would argue that to get someone there as a middle manager where they are, you know, potentially a negative influencer, or, you know, there's something going on there, we've not cracked the code early enough on that.
You've not so done I think due diligence.
Exactly. So they're not a culture carrier, they're a culture crasher. Like they want to literally just, you know, fight against things all the time. They do detail. They're subject matter experts, and they see things with a different set of eyes because they're on the shop floor, for want of a better term, a lot of the time. They're kind of still seeing a bit of everything going on.
They've done the gym reps, right?
They've put the reps in, absolutely. Yeah. And they soothe troubled waters. If they're really, really intuitive and they love their job and they've got to know their people, these are the guys that when we go to and say, look, this is what we've got to deliver. Now you've got to go and communicate that with your team in a challenge state environment, not a threat state. They know what to do. They know who to approach first. They know, you know, exactly how to deliver that information. So already there's like a couple of minutes full of stuff that these guys are doing. And for me, you know, I'm big on the people, as you know.
Yeah.
I just don't think we put enough emphasis on what a solid core this is in our organization if we get it right. And do we invest enough time in that? Do we put the gym reps in? Do we work our core every day? And what I mean by that is, do we get curious in there? Do we check in on them? Do we invest in them? You know, we're going to look at 5 points at the end that we can land on that will help us with that. But yeah, I mean, James, have you ever come across anyone that you've spoken to that has said yes to a promotion to, let's say, middle management, and then really regretted it?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
You can talk to me if you want.
Oh, dear.
And that was, it was in a slightly different environment to what, well, it was a totally different culture and everything that was around me at the time in my career. Yeah. But I'd signed for like a 24-hour access that I was going to be available at any point whenever needed. Mm. And I was like, I just wanted the promotion.
The promotion because of the way you're built, as in because you've got to succeed and achieve your profile?
Oh, I was pushing.
Or was it salary? Or was it a bit of both?
Bit of both, to be fair. Whereas actually taking that back, there's no amount of money that get me back to that environment.
No. So what was it about it that, I mean, I sometimes use the term heebie-jeebies or anxiety. Mm. What was it that didn't make you feel successful in that type of role?
It was the reward and recognition as a point of, I've busted it for literally 6 months.
Yeah.
Solid. And I'm not developing any further academically or professionally within a qualification point of view or experience, but the amount of time that I was doing it, I was still developing, but I couldn't see it at the time because I'm too busy absolutely running myself into the ground or trying to understand the people that and the structure that we had in place didn't necessarily bode well for the right reasons. But yeah, the information coming down was a little bit tough as well. So as a middle manager, I'm doing everything to keep the mass in check and this if you like the hierarchy at point and understanding that we're still hitting our goals. So yeah, the core got the reps a lot.
Yeah.
It was more about how many reps of what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I think that's just like being specific, isn't it, as well? And to get it right, you know, we've got to make sure we're balanced.
Yeah.
And I think that for some people, that's the difficult bit about being in that position. Because as you said, if you've got a highly, I guess, interactive group of people that work directly underneath you, then you're going to want to keep them engaged. You're going to want to make sure that you're, you know, having conversations with them regularly. You're even getting your hands dirty a little bit sometimes, because you know that's their, you know, their language. They like that. Yeah. But then equally, when you have stakeholder management in the equation, then you are at danger sometimes of becoming, well, pulled in the wrong direction and then not able to put as much emphasis on that team beneath you. They feel it. They feel that you're maybe becoming a bit of an absent manager sometimes, but that's down to what pressures are put on you as a middle manager, figuring out how to say no sometimes, how to prioritize your communication points. And, you know, let's be honest, you figure out straight away who your real boss is. And I say that lightly because everybody knows who their real boss is. But what I mean is, it's, you know, some people, we've got to go through that analysis of like, you know, does that person need to know everything that's asking you for that information? Yeah. Is this person just a little bit more highly strung than others and they need more information from me? Is it drawing on too much of my time? And I think that's the sort of thing, you were right from what you said in the beginning. We don't teach those things before we get there. So we then have to figure it out. And quite often it's for middle managers, it's years down the line that a penny drops and you go, I need to set boundaries.
Yeah. The number of people that have gone, I've just started to understand off the back of some of the workshop that's done with us.
Yeah.
They've turned around and gone, you know what, now I seem to have a little bit more balance. Yeah. I know what environments I thrive in. And then actually some of the environments that I actually quite struggle in, and I put a little bit more time and energy into that. I've got a question before we move on.
Go on then.
What about a level of conscious or being consciously competent? And in regards to communication, I've heard this term a number of times across my career and even some of the research that I've been doing recently. If we're talking about having this great core and having it very turned and ripped, looking pretty sexy to be fair.
Six pack in place.
And we're shredded.
Yeah.
Is there a level of, or what are your thoughts on being consciously competent of in regards to communication? And for these people that sit at middle manager.
I mean, I guess, can you think of a workplace that you've worked in where you kind of observed that, or if you're in an environment where you've observed that?
Yeah, we've got environments within some of the education systems I'd worked in.
Okay.
And it was on point. Mm. And then others where it definitely wasn't.
What was the difference, do you think? Like what? How could you feel it? Can you quantify it? Because sometimes it's just...
In T2 terms, psychological safety.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because we've had people that would put their hand up in meetings or when they're on the call, voice their opinion if it's valid.
Yeah.
If it's the right time and place to be able to doing it and communicating in the right way, which goes back to my competency.
Yes.
For the middle managers that didn't say anything, they'd walk out the door, get frustrated, and then moan to their team. And then as a consequence, we've seen it with other managers where they've turned around and gone, there is not a chance, even if I am so stressed that I'm letting my team know about it.
Yeah.
Because that's on me. I am the middle manager. Yeah. And that's probably the big deadlift in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the bit where you've got to test that muscle.
Yeah.
And go, you know what? I'm worth my weight. Going back to the point of what do we do with these people? If you can see that they're having the big reps and they can do the job to an absolute solid level.
Yeah.
Are we in the right system?
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that we all too often as a leader, I think I need to reward that person because they're doing the reps. You know, they're hitting PRs every day.
Yeah.
you know, they can take things from all angles. They're changing up, they're being dynamic, and they've got athletic ability. But the reality is, I think we need to just draw a line there a little bit and say, okay, so if we've got middle managers who are really, really great, hitting those PRs, loving what they do. I've put people, processes, strengths and attributes. It lines up for all of them. A lot of people in that middle role like that. Mm. If they're really good, if they're a master, then they like that element of being hands-on, but also having that ability to deal with people. And maybe even, like you say, to return on the shop floor from time to time, because they get a bit of a hit from that.
Yeah.
I definitely feel I'm one of those people that if I'm too far away from the shop front, if you like, I get agitated. I can do it for short periods of time. So for me, stepping into a role where I would completely lift myself out, and that has happened to me a couple of times in roles, I've done it, but I've not been happy about it. We've got to stop putting pressure on this. Like, I've put this note here about outmoded assumptions. They're doing serious damage. So people think, if I don't go for that promotion out of that middle management position or into middle management, even whatever way you look at it, or if I don't look like I'm heading, you know, so when you go to performance review and people say, so what's next for you? What's your five-year plan? Yeah, and I'm like, mate, I'm just trying to get to Friday. You know, I don't really know what my I do have an idea of what my five-year plan is, but I think that that's a little bit outdated. I think that a lot of people just have found something that's just their thing and they absolutely love it. So we've got to think of actually, how can we stop putting this absolute push on people to put those expectations on themselves to move from these roles where actually they think that they've got a sweet spot. You know, if you can find someone, and I really mean this, and I've came across a handful in my life, which if I was to think of putting someone into a role with me in another organization, I'd go grab them straight away because they were just the perfect balance. They were my core. They were the person who absolutely lived the values, held everything together like a good core, and loved the environment and loved the people. And they're very rare, but when you get them, if you can embrace that and not put that additional pressure on through, you know, going to the next level for whatever term we're going to use. And we're going to talk about actually how we can do that differently.
Okay.
Because for me, that's the important thing. Yep. There's quick things, five things I wrote down here. So the first thing I wrote down is make middle management a destination.
You know.
Oh yeah, you know.
And I think that's smashing it as well, by the way, isn't it? Getting to the point and going, right, this is me.
Yeah, because some people, that is their apex. Yeah. That is like, for me, I get work-life balance.
Yeah.
I get the salary I think I, you know, deserve based on my expertise. I get the fine balance between operations and people management. You know, all those things that kind of culminate in one place for that one person.
Yeah.
And who's to say that isn't someone's destination? You know, sometimes some of the stuff I've wrote down here around, you know, polling leaders and them sometimes having an assumption that that person might be lazy or incapable or they don't have any drive. That is not the case. I've worked with many people over the years. So going back to our trades example about your electrician, you start as an apprentice.
Yep.
Then you become an electrician. Then you might become a senior electrician. Then you might become a master electrician. And then you'll be a technical whiz. Now, I know people, as you do, who are tradesmen who have been doing that job for 30, 40 years.
Yep.
Has their pay increased? Yes, because they bring other bits into the equation. And rather than just looking at, I want to run my own business, they might do, or I want to lead a team of people, they are just specialists. Their pay and their benefits have increased or changed depending on what they do. And for me, that's about this destination. If that feels good for you, what's wrong with building a house there? If that's your destination, but it's keeping that edge of challenge and not complacency.
Okay.
And that's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for us as leaders, we've got to think, okay, so we've got our best person there, you know, whether it's before middle management or in middle management, am I making the right decision or am I just, you know, a magnetic pull to promote top middle managers into like big positions because they've been there a long period of time?
My question is that maybe it's that adaptability point then.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a measure of you can throw said person into any environment and that's where you get the value from?
Absolutely. And we've got to challenge people, haven't we? So the second thing I put down there is rather than just talking about promotion all the time, can we expand their sphere or their circle of influence?
Yeah.
So actually, you know, responsibility. you know, it might be that rather than promoting you to a people manager or for more people underneath you, you know, can we actually get you involved cross-functionally? Can we increase the sort of influence you have in different areas to give you that little kick that you need, that chemical boost of, you know, feeling like you're really giving back? And that's what people like, isn't it? That's what they want to feel. They want to feel like they've got a purpose and they're making a difference.
Yeah.
So that's a top thing to think about. How can you help them build their networks and get out of their own, you know, if they are a subject matter expert expert in their area, then how can we actually make them think a little wider? Because that'll just add to, you know, what they do, you know. The other thing I put down is challenging assignments. You know, for some people, just being put onto a project team or being given something that just pushes them out of their normal day-to-day kind of rigor, if you like, allows them space to grow so they can expand through that spectrum of growth, because we know it's not about fixed or growth mindset. There's a lot more than that goes on there, right? Some people are really good at actually making mistakes, failing fast and learning from it. Other people avoid them because they don't want, you know. So we've got to think about what that person's spectrum of growth looks like. But how can we challenge them with things so that they really feel like, you know, right, okay, that's something I learned. I'm going to move on from that. And actually, that's going to give me the kick I need.
Yeah. Is that the professional nudge?
Yeah, I guess it is really. It's like some things you put people into because you think they're going to be great at that. Their attributes and skills suit that. I know that's the right person. It might be a little bit out with what they normally do sometimes, but it's safe. Okay. Other times you're actually trying to build someone's attributes by saying, right, let me just test the waters here. So if I'm going to think about promoting that person in the future, or I think there's a belief that that might happen, rather than putting all the pressure on them, let me test them.
Yeah, just give them a task.
Now. Yeah. And then later on when you're doing self-reflection with them, you say, you know, how did you achieve that? What did you do? And it's all going to come from from them. They're going to go, well, I did X, Y, Z. I did this and this is, and then, and actually that's going to give them that confidence to go, actually, I did do all that. So when it does come to that conversation about next steps, or if you want to move up the ladder, then they have that belief, but we haven't put that pressure on them to do that. The other thing I put down here, or let's just talk about title changes, compensatory rewards. For some people in organizations, it's not about the money. It's actually about, actually, what am I recognized for? I know people who have told me, and actually I've seen a couple of reports that say the same thing, that some people, a title change is actually more important to them in terms of, or as opposed to money sometimes. So if, you know, they all of a sudden get a director's title, or they, you know, move into a different area and they get subject matter expertise kind of banner under what they do, for them, you know, if they know the business can't provide more capital, then that sometimes can be just as important to them. But also, let's just talk about compensatory rewards. You know, we have got systems in place in organizations where we have pay bans. They're there to protect the business. I understand that. But that's sometimes where we restrict people. And this is where we're going to lose these cores because the core muscles need to be worked. They need to be, you know, a little bit of emphasis put on them from time to time. And if we allow them to hit that ceiling and then not give them anywhere to go, if they don't want to go up again, and we don't do some of these things that we're talking about here, the reality is they're going to jump ship because they're going to go and try a new
abs. The grass is greener over there.
Yeah, they're going to go and try a new abs exercise, you know, because they're going to get more from doing that. So, you know, if we can look at things from a compensatory position, you know, is it about flexibility? Is it about pay scales? Is it about being rewarded for your outputs rather than your rank? You know, is that a conversation you can have in your workplace? Because some people want to move side to side and you don't provide that opportunity to do that. If you don't do that, you're missing a trick there, because not everybody wants to keep climbing. So it's worth thinking about. And the last one I put is investment.
Go on, what do you mean by that?
Time and understanding. You know, those middle managers, just like anybody in your organization, need to be seen and heard. So for them, checking in regularly with how they're feeling about things, what they could expand on, you know, support they may need, and where they are mentally and physically as well, let's be honest.
There's part of that one-to-one process, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. If you don't check in on those things, then the reality is you don't know where they are, you don't know what the assumptions are. Yeah. When someone, you know, drops out of a role and all of a sudden you've got to fill that role, the first thing that we generally think in an organization is who have we got in the business right now? And actually, if we haven't already had that conversation, or we haven't had discussions around what that might look and feel like, and we haven't got sort of like succession planning in place or development for that, then we're setting these guys up to fail from the beginning. So they'll either take the job and regret it, or they'll avoid the job because they've seen the person above them failing. not a good place to be. So
is that with a lack of support and with
lack of support, yeah. lack of understanding? Yeah. So yeah, so make middle management a destination, expand their sphere wherever you can,
yeah.
or the circle of influence. Give them challenging assignments. Think about the changes that you can make, whether it's title changes, compensatory rewards, or what would suit them best.
Yep.
And investment, time and understanding, massive thing to consider. And I guess the big thing there is we need to keep training. And that's us
yep.
and them, because if we don't have a solid core, then the reality is that the other exercises we try to perform are not going to be, you know, in a great place. We wouldn't be able to do half the things we do without these guys keeping our organizations running. And sometimes we just need to stop and take stock of the stuff that they deal with on a daily basis. We have a lot of pressure as leaders, absolutely. But I think we do need to think about that cascade sometimes and how we set people up for failure. And, you know, if we want to get the reps in, get the sets in and start to see personal, you know, records for people, then we've got to make sure we strengthen those muscles. And first of all, we need to know actually what part to focus on. So yeah, I think it's just really important that we're always thinking about progressive core training, how we do that, what needs development, and how we can support these people, because our athletic ability is super important. We need to be agile, don't we?
Definitely, Tracy.
So
well, I've really enjoyed that, Tracy. Thank you very much for
very quick and off the cuff this morning, right?
Yeah,
but always a good chat. If you're a middle manager right now, we think you're a legend.
Yeah.
you put up with a lot.
Stay on the training schedule. Stay you'll
on
be the, fine.
Yeah, stay on that schedule. And if you are one of those people that, you know, is you know, any of this has kind of stood out to you, think about, you know, what your training program needs to look like, you know, and don't be scared to go and ask for a training program.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the reality and else, you know what else? Change your exercises from time to time. It'll keep you sharp, right? So definitely. Thanks, James. We'll see you again soon for another T2 Hubcast.
We are going to explore print.
What are you talking about? What's print?
Print is this fantastic model that we use with a lot of our clients. It's all about unconscious motivators. So it's a model based on motivations that are responsible for our thoughts, for our feelings, for our actions, because they operate at that deeper level. If you really want to take it to the next level in regards to your self-development, whether it be for you as an individual, for your team, for your organization, then get in touch because we'd love to help support.
When I say it's changed my life, it really has. You guys need to get in touch with the T2 Towers.
Yeah.
Send an email, follow us on social media. Thank you very much. I'm James Cooper.
And I'm Denise Cassidy.